This is Stuart Corrigan from Vanguard, and today I have the absolute privilege of speaking with Dr. Marshall Goldsmith. Dr. Goldsmith has been recognized over the past 4 years as one of the top 10 business thinkers in the world and is a top-rated executive coach. Today we're going to talk about, specifically, if you're a leader, how do you go about changing your behavior? Good afternoon, Marshall.
Good afternoon. Great to talk with you.
Thank you so much for giving us your time today. Could we start by you giving us a few minutes on just exactly what it is you do?
Well, my mission is to help successful leaders achieve positive long-term change in behavior for themselves, their people, and their teams. And I do three things. I coach executives, which I'm most famous for, and I've coached many, many wonderful people. Then I give talks or teach classes, and I travel all around the world doing that. I've been to 93 countries. And then the final thing I do is write and edit books and articles. My most famous book is called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And then my new book, Triggers, just made it to number one in the New York Times bestseller list. So those are the three things I do.
Excellent. And are there some people you've coached that we may know?
Oh, yes. I've coached many people you may have heard of. I've been the coach of Alan Mulally, who's the CEO, was the CEO of Ford, just retired, CEO of the year in the United States. Ian Reed, the CEO of Pfizer, world's largest drug company. Hubert Joly, who's done a spectacular job of turning around Best Buy. Brian Connell, who's doing a wonderful job of turning around Target. Dr. Jim Kim, the president of World Bank. Dr. John Noseworthy, the head of the Mayo Clinic. I could pretty much go on and on, a long list of very, very distinguished people, the head of the New York Public Library, the head of the Red Cross, many organizations, the CEO of Glaxo, Walmart, many, many top people.
Wow. It really is a privilege to have you here today, then. Thank you again. So let's get into this behavioral change. So first question for me would be, what are the kind or the typical behaviors that you help leaders to change? What do they typically want to change?
Well, I help them make that transition from the great achiever to the great leader. For the great achiever, it's all about me, and for the great leader, it's all about them. One of the classic problems I talk about in my book, What Got You Here, Won't You There, is winning too much. Because at the bottom of an organization, your entire focus is on being the winner yourself. As you get to the top, your goal should be to help create other people who are the winners and let go. This is particularly challenging with a founder or an entrepreneurial business, as well as in a large organization.
Okay. And give me an example of some of the specific behaviors that leaders would say to you, please help me with this.
For example, it could be the leader needs to be a more effective delegator. That the leader is an excellent doer, a person who's technically gifted, needs to start letting go more. Again, especially with the founder, they need to let other people start running the business, eventually sort of back away. It could be the leader tries to be right too much. I have a funny case study I use. Imagine you want to go to dinner at restaurant X. Your husband, wife, or partner wants to go to dinner at restaurant Y. You give heated argument. You go to restaurant Y. It was not your choice. The food tastes awful and the service is terrible. Option A, you could critique the food and point out your partner was wrong, or option B, shut up, eat the stupid food, try to enjoy it, and have a nice evening. What would I do? What should I do? Almost all my clients, what would I do? Critique the food. What should I do? Shut up. Well, I try to teach leaders, don't win all the time. Let other people win. Win the big stuff, and on the little stuff, learn to let go. Don't always add value. Don't always prove you're right. Don't make everything about you. Make it about the great people you work with.
So what is the process that you go through to help a leader change the way they behave?
Well, the way my process works is, first, I have to have a sign-off from the leader that they want to do exactly my process. The cost of my clients hiring me is their time. I mean, whatever they pay me is incidental compared to the value of their time. What is the time of the president of the World Bank worth, or the CEO of Pfizer worth, or any of the other people I coach? Their time is incredibly valuable. So I don't waste time. I don't get paid on spending time. I only get paid for results. And so therefore I don't waste time. because their time is valuable. So the way the process works is everything is either required or optional. On the required side, they must get confidential feedback from everyone around them. They need to pick important behavior to improve. If they're not the CEO has to agree that these are the right behaviors and the right people. They have to follow up on a regular basis with their colleagues, apologizing for their mistakes. They have to involve their colleagues, listen in a non-judgmental way, thank their colleagues for input, not promising to do everything, just promising to listen and learn and think about it. Then they follow up with me on a regular basis, and then we measure positive long-term change and improvement as judged by the right people. The right behavior is judged by the right people, and if they're not the CEO, the whole process has to be signed off on by the CEO.
Okay. And as someone, I mean, my listeners to this call will be very much interested in what are the things at work that cause people or leaders not to behave the way that they should. In other words, would you say that a lot of the behavior that you help leaders with is their own choice, or is it them reacting to events that cause them to behave in a way that they shouldn't?
Well, oftentimes, in my book, Triggers, I talk about this. Oftentimes, environmental things set people off in a direction that they don't want to go in. They don't choicefully plan to do the things that are wrong. They end up doing the things wrong without having thinking about it. For example, I ask people, do you believe in encouraging input? Yes. Should we shoot the messenger? No. Should we encourage people to tell the truth? Of course. You know, you want people to be honest. Yes, yes, yes. And I say, here's a case study. You're driving your car. There's lots of traffic. The person in the front seat goes, look out, there's a red light up ahead. Do you say thank you? Or do you yell and scream at the person? Which is the opposite of what you just told me you wanted to do. Well, almost everybody says I yell and scream. Why? That environmental trigger sets off an impulse. The impulse leads to a behavior, and the behavior is exactly the opposite of the person that we want to become. What I try to teach people in my book, Triggers, is there will always be impulses. The idea is to breathe. To breathe. Realize, all right, here's a trigger, here's an impulse. I'm aware of what's going on, and I have a choice. And once we can do that, we're much more likely to behave in a way that's consistent with the person we want to be, not the person the environment is creating.
Okay. So you start by doing the feedback. Then you have the leader identify the behaviors that they want to change, and I guess you and the leader have agreed on that. And then
If they're not the CEO, the CEO has to sign off on it. If they are the CEO, the board has to sign on it. Yeah, because I get sign off on either from the CEO or the board. Yeah, exactly. Excuse me, then go ahead.
So, well, let me just ask a follow-up question to that point then. Do you have leaders who actively resist, who say one thing
and do something different?
Or?
Well, yeah, they might for a while, but you see, I don't get paid if people don't get better. So my tolerance for bad attitude is close to zero. Yes, I don't get paid if they don't get better. So if they have a bad attitude, what do I say? Goodbye. I'm not in the religious conversion business. No, I just tell people to care. If people don't care, I just tell them, thank you for not caring. Go away.
And does that happen?
Occasionally, not too much.
Okay, excellent. So what's the model that you teach them for changing behavior? I guess it starts with anticipate, does it?
Well, no, ask for input.
No.
Ask for input. Listen. Think about it. Thank people. Respond in a non-judgmental way, involve them, change, and then the key is you've got to follow up to make change last. I wrote an article called Leadership as a Context Board, 86,000 people from 8 companies. If any of your listeners would like to get a copy, send me an email, marshall@marshallwillsmith.com. I'll send you a copy of it. And it talks about how if you do ask for input, listen, think about it, thank people, respond in a positive way, follow up on a regular basis, you get better.
Okay. And what if there's a behavior that someone wants to change at work and they're listening to this call and they know that they need to change that behavior, what do you suggest they do?
I'm going to give them 2 or 3 suggestions. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
The first suggestion is they need to talk to everyone. Who are their important stakeholders? For example, if they want to be a better listener, they would say, you know, one thing I've decided to do is become a great listener. Now, I can't change the past. I'm not going to ask you for feedback about the past. I'm going to ask you for ideas for the future. If you had to have an idea to help me be a great listener in the future, what would they be? Then the other people talk. Then you say, I can't promise to do everything you and everybody say. I am going to promise to listen to the ideas, to think of them, and do what I can. I'm going to follow up with you, and I'm really going to focus on becoming a better listener. And if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to help me out. Then on a regular basis, you follow up about every couple months and say, 2 months ago, I said I wanted to be a better listener. It's been 2 months. Based on the last two, give me ideas for the next two, 4 months, 6 months, 8 months. And it's amazing that'll help. Then the second thing I suggest is what I call the daily question process. This is something you can do on your own. Just every day, evaluate yourself on one question. Did I do my best to be a good listener today? Did I do my best to be a good listener today? And evaluate yourself on that question every day on a 1 to 10 scale. Well, if you do the daily self-reflection and you do the follow-up with the other people, your odds on not getting better are real close to zero.
Okay. And how did you go about developing those daily questions, the did I do my best questions? Because, I mean, that sounds just, you know, one of these obvious but fabulous ideas.
Well, you know, a couple of things. One, I've been doing the daily questions for years. And then my daughter Kelly really helped me with the idea of what are called active questions, the ones that focus on did I do my best? Because we studied the concept of employee engagement and realized every question was a passive question. Passive question, do you have clear goals? Do you have meaningful work? And if we ask ourselves passive questions and we have negative responses, we blame the environment. If we ask these active questions that we begin with did I do my best to, we take responsibility ourselves. And so the active questions, the six I recommend every day. Did I do my best to set clear goals? Did I do my best to make progress toward achieving my goals? Did I do my best to find meaning? Did I do my best to be happy? Did I do my best to build positive relationships? And finally, did I do my best to be fully engaged? If you look at our research on this, it's pretty amazing. By the way, again, any of your listeners want to find out about this, send me an email, marshall@marshallgoldsmith.com. I'll enroll them in a two-week study. They can experiment themselves. And you know, we'll send them an email. All I need is people's email address. We'll send them an email every day for 10 working days. And then after 10 days, we measure progress. The results are amazing. So far, about the 79 studies, 2,537 people, what have we found out? 37% of people 2 weeks later say I'm better at everything. 65% said I got better on 4 out of 6. 89% said I got better on something. About 11% stayed the same, and 0.4% get worse. I've got some good news to your listeners. Are you ready?
Yeah, go on.
The odds on anyone getting worse based on anything I teach are phenomenally close to zero.
Excellent. Well, who wouldn't want to take you up on, you know, free coaching from the world's number one coach? I mean, that just sounds, you know, an offer that's too good to miss. Okay, so, and you do these questions yourself every day. I read in Triggers that you have somebody call you every night to talk about these questions. Is that right?
Well, actually, she called me this morning. She called me this morning.
Okay.
I talked to her probably about an hour ago.
Okay.
I went over my questions. Now, I have a whole bunch of other questions I've also added on to my list. I need lots of remedial help. So there's a lot of other questions I've added to my list. But she talked to me today. She calls me every day. Somebody asked me, why do you pay some woman to call you on the phone every day just to listen to you read questions that you wrote and provide answers you wrote? Don't you know the theory about how to change behavior? I wrote the theory about how to change behavior. That's why I pay a woman to call me every day. I know how hard it is. It's hard.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
if I had the courage to do this by myself, I would. I don't have the courage to do this by myself. You know, my name is Marshall Goldsmith. I'm too cowardly and undisciplined to do this by myself. I need help. And guess what? It's okay. Once we get over this macho self-willpower, you know, I can do it on my own crap, life is much better. Okay, you didn't know this, so I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What's one behavior that you've needed to improve for years, but you haven't improved it?
behavior for me would definitely be in a meeting when I'm with a client, let the client talk first and fully explain the problem.
Okay, here's what I want you to say. I have this problem. Repeat after me. I have this problem.
I have this problem.
I've not fixed it by myself for years.
I've not fixed it by myself for years.
I probably won't fix it by myself in the future.
I would say I definitely won't fix it by myself in the future.
I need help.
I need help.
And it's okay.
And it's okay.
See, once we get over this silly macho, I can do it on my own crap, life is much better. Look, every tennis player, one thing I'm proud of in my book, 27 major CEOs on the U.S. version of the book put their name on the book endorsing it. They all said, you know what they all said? I'm one of the most powerful leaders in the world. Guess what? I have a coach. I need help. It's okay. What percent of the top 10 tennis players have coaches? They all have coaches. It's okay. I have people
Absolutely.
Help me. It's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, once we get over this ridiculous fantasy that we can do everything on our own, life is much better.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, even Roger Federer was without a coach for about a year, and now he's back working with a coach again and winning again. So there you go. If it's good enough for Roger, it must be good enough for us, eh?
I agree.
So final question then. What is your singular best piece of advice on leadership?
I'm going to give my best advice on life. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. Imagine that you're 95 years old and you're just getting ready to die. But right before you take that last breath, you're given a beautiful gift, the ability to go back in time and talk to the person who's listening to me right now. The ability to help that person be a better leader, more important, have a better life. What advice would the wise 95-year-old you, who knows what mattered in life and what did not matter, and what was important and what was not important, what advice would that wise old person have for the you that's listening to me right now? Well, whatever you're thinking now, do that. In terms of performance appraisal, that's the only one that's going to matter. That old person says you did the right thing, you did, and that old person says you screwed up, you did. Some friends of mine interviewed all folks who were dying. Three themes emerge. Theme number one is people. Take the time to help people, do what's right for people. And, you know, the main reason to do it has nothing to do with money or status or getting ahead. It's just the 95-year-old you'll be proud of you because you did. And then number two theme, be happy now. Not next week, not next month, not next year. That Great Western disease, I'll be happy when I get the money, status, BMW. When I get that $1 million, I'll be happy when. We all have the same win. Learning point for old people, I got so busy chasing what I didn't have, I never saw what I did when I had everything. And then the final point, friends and family. You know, do whatever you can to, you look around, you realize these people are important in your life. And then again, finally, if you have a dream, go for it. Because if you don't when you're 45, you might not when you're 85. So anyway, that would be my advice.
And that's fabulous advice. Well, some, you know, amazing points for people to, you know, act on and think about and really change their behaviors. Give us again your email, Marshall. If somebody wants to get in touch and they want to join the two-week program, who do they email?
Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, at Marshall Goldsmith, G-O-L-D-S-M-I-T-H, MarshallGoldsmith.com.
Excellent. And I'll put a link into this particular blog for people who want to get Triggers or any of your other books. And I can highly recommend Triggers and What Got You Here Won't Get You There, another, you know, fabulous book. So, Marshall, can't thank you enough, and I hope you have a great day and a great week. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.